First John chapter 4 is near the end of your New Testament. If you find the book of Revelation, that's the last book of the Bible. Back up to your left, three or four books. You got Jude, 3rd John, 2nd John, then 1st John there, chapter 4. And we're going to read the first four verses of this chapter and jump into the message after we have a special from someone here in just a moment. So that's 1st John. Now, not the Gospel of John, but later on, further on in your New Testament toward Revelation, the first letter of John, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Let's stand together, please, in honor of the Bible. Would you please join me on verses 2 and 4 as we read our scripture this morning? This is what the Word of God says. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Lord, would you please add your blessing to the reading of your word today? And then, God and Heavenly Father, if you'd please give us liberty to preach today the unsearchable riches of your book. It's so rich, Lord, so good for us. And I pray that you'll help me, God, in the message today to just get the truth across, and that, God, the truth would challenge us and set us free and help us and motivate us and bless us. That's what we want. God, may we be a tool in your hand this morning for the work that needs to be accomplished. And we'll thank you for loving us and speaking to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Found me before
song today, and I appreciate that. I want you to look at the very last phrase in chapter 4, verse 4. We read it a moment ago, where John wrote this, "Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I like that. And I want to speak for a little bit on this subject, the greater person. The greater person. And let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us before we ever loved you in return. And even now that we're saved, we still don't love you with the love that we ought to have. And yet your love remains constant and unchanging for us. And Lord, thank you for that reminder by way of the song we just heard. Help me today to get the truth across. May it be a blessing and an encouragement to us. Speak to each heart. Lord, I pray in Christ's name. And amen. I mentioned a little bit ago during the announcements that we go to the polls this Tuesday. And for the midterm elections, it's been very interesting. I don't follow it intimately, but just from the outside, an article here or a report here on the radio. I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh until it's about this time of the year. I caught him going down to Metropolis on Monday and heard what he had to say about it and so forth. And I think it's probably, you probably know if you go to church here, that probably the most of us in this room would trust and hope that maybe the elections result in a little bit more conservative Congress than we've had the last 2 years. We'd like to see a more conservative House of Representatives or a conservative Senate. Do I think that's the long-term solution? No, that's not the long-term solution. The long-term solution is when Jesus Christ comes and sets up his millennial kingdom, rules and reigns. Until that happens, it's going to ebb and flow back. But for what good they can do, I would like to see us to return, leave some of the socialist principles and get back to what's more American and probably more biblical. One of the things I always look for in a candidate is their position on the Second Amendment rights, the right to bear and keep arms. And I know that doesn't fly with a lot of people, but that's okay. That's very American. In fact, it's very biblical, very biblical. And so I always like to find out what's going on with somebody when the election's coming, about where they are with the right to bear and keep arms. Now, a popular handgun in our society today and for many years now has been the .44 Magnum. I won't ask how many of you fellows have a .44 Magnum, but you never know who's what informant is sitting in the congregation, all right? So I won't ask, but it's a popular handgun. It was originally designed for as a revolver, and it was introduced. After it was introduced, it was quickly adapted for rifles. There are bigger guns. The .454 Casull has kind of replaced what the .44 Magnum was used for. Bigger guns and fancier and all that, but the .44 Magnum was, and probably will always be, a great weapon. It definitely can be used in cases of self-defense and family protection. A .44 Magnum can be used for protection. It is interesting that 1 John 4:4 speaks about the protection that the people of God have because of the person that is in them. John said, "Greater is he that is in you," he that is in you, "than he that is in the world." Now, as a husband and a dad with several children at home at one point, it's very comforting to know that I can own a weapon that I can use to protect my family with and so forth. If necessary, it's also comforting to know that as a child of God, we have a person that is greater than what the world has and is able to protect us. We have our own spiritual 44. Our 1 John 4:4. Now, the protection verse 4 speaks of specifically in this text is protection against the spirit of error. Protection against the spirit of error. I want you to see that John begins chapter 4 by exhorting us not to believe every spirit. Verse number 1, "Beloved," that's saved people now, Believe not every spirit. All right? And then he says, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. The spirits are to be examined. The spirits are to be tried. The spirits are to be tested. Now, how do you examine a spirit? You can't see a spirit. You can't hear a spirit. You can't touch a spirit. How can you examine or try or test the spirits? Well, look at what it goes on to say. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The mouthpiece of a spirit is a prophet. The mouthpiece of a spirit is a prophet. The mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit is a preacher, a prophet, or a soul winner, or a witness, or a teacher, somebody who is proclaiming truth. Doesn't have to be a pastor behind the pulpit. It could be like one of our men was talking about in our Sunday school class this morning. He's been trying to witness to a coworker. And the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit is that man in our church who is being a witness to a coworker who needs to be saved. Now, the mouthpiece of false spirits or the mouthpiece of the spirits of error are false prophets. And that's what John says. He says, you be careful just believing everything you hear. I could add also, be careful what you read on the internet. Be careful what you get by way of a text message. Okay? Not everything that comes across the media, the airwaves, is reliable and true. So John says, he says, Christian, beloved, saved people, you need to be careful. You need to just not swallow everything you hear, but you need to examine the spirits. You need to try the spirits and test the spirits, because there are a lot of false prophets out in the world. There's a lot of spirits of error preaching or speaking through false prophets. Now, there is one prominent distinguishing difference between the true spirit and the false spirits. The true spirit and the false spirits. Look at verse number 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. That's the true spirit. The spirit of truth. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. John said the true spirit leads men to confess. The true spirit leads men to preach. The true spirit leads men to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he came as God in the flesh. That's why you know you're locked into a true preacher, okay, or a true witness. Now, he says this in verse number three, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. You see that? A distinguishing factor here, okay? The false spirit or spirit of error leads men to confess or preach or believe that Jesus Christ is not the Messiah. He was not God in flesh. So watch it. If I could simplify this, the true spirit always exalts Christ. The true spirit always lifts up Christ. The true spirit always speaks the truth about Christ. The true spirit is always in the business of revealing Christ to people and never taking anything away from his person. But a false spirit is always trying to take away from the person of Jesus Christ. He's not the Messiah. He's not the Son of God. He's a great teacher. He's a good man. He was even, he had the power to work some miracles. But no, he's not God. Or they might say something like this. There are men out there who preach in groups that believe that Jesus Christ had a physical relationship with Mary Magdalene. That's the false spirit. That's the spirit of error. That's taking away from the person of Jesus Christ. There are even some groups out there who would insinuate and teach that Jesus Christ became intimate with a couple of the disciples because it fits their agenda. That's not the spirit of truth. When that person speaks, those people are motivated, those people are moved, those people are driven by the spirit of error. The spirit of truth always exalts Jesus Christ. Any spirit, any person who takes away from the person of Christ in any way is motivated by the spirit of error or a false spirit. That's how you try them. What is their stand on Jesus Christ? Now, listen very carefully. That is the same spirit that will move or motivate the Antichrist. It was already at work in 90 A.D. when John wrote this letter, and it's still at work today. Look at verse number 3. And he keeps on now. He's talking about the false spirit here, okay? Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. Like what John said. And even now, 90 A.D., I don't know if you got a date on your Bible or not. You got a Scofield Bible. My Bible says this was written right after 90 A.D. So toward the end of the first century, already the spirit of Antichrist was at work in the world. John said, and even now already is it in the world. That's why he was saying, you've got to try the spirits. You've got to listen to what's being said. You've got to analyze and judge what they're saying about Jesus Christ according to the revealed truth in the Word of God. And any person speaking at the motivation, with the motivation of any spirit that takes away from the person of Jesus Christ is a false prophet. It's motivated by the spirit of error, and that's the spirit of Antichrist. It was at work in Paul's day, in John's day, toward the end of the first century. It's at work in the world today. A couple of weeks ago, on a Tuesday afternoon, Brother Caleb and I were down at Kankakee. And we were knocking doors. And it was the program. We were trying to get visitors, invite folks to church. And so we were knocking doors. And I knocked on this door, this nice house. And a Hispanic lady came to the door. She didn't speak any English. So she got her son. He came to the door and began to talk with this articulate, well-represented young Hispanic man. And it was my turn at the door. And so I began to talk and invited him to church. And he said, well, we'll see. You know, he said, I won't make any promises. I said, that's fine. I said, hey, what's far more important than ever coming to church is knowing for sure that you're on your way to heaven. That little piece of paper there that I gave you has some scripture in it that'll tell you how to know for sure that you're going to heaven so you don't have to go to hell someday. Anybody ever talked to you about that? And he said, well, I don't know. I said, well, can I show you a few verses? He said, sure. So I started down the plan of salvation with him. When I got to the part where it says the wages of sin is death, and started talking about death being eternal separation from God forever in the lake of fire, he said, I don't believe in hell. I said, what do you mean you don't believe in hell? He said, well, hell is here. And right away I knew what I was up against. I said, are you a Jehovah's Witness? He said, yes, I am. And I went on to, and I should have just shut her down right there. And I tell you from the pulpit, don't argue with the Jehovah's Witnesses. Don't try to get anywhere with the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I just, sometimes you don't live by your own preaching, I guess. And so I started turning to the scriptures and talking to him, and I said, sir, and I talked about, and I showed where Jesus talked about, and he talked about, you know, there's just no way, and so forth. And he said, I said, sir, you're deceived. He said, no, I used to be deceived. He said, I used to be deceived like you. And at this point, then I finally wised up and just said, see you later. Okay. The conversation was over. Got out of there. I want to tell you something. That young man is motivated by the spirit of error. Because not only do Jehovah's Witnesses not believe in literal hell, they do not believe that Jesus is God. And John said, any prophet, any person who takes anything away from the person of Jesus Christ is not of God. They're motivated or moved by the spirit of error. And I tell you what, folks, I can say what you want to say. It grieves me to go by this hall over here and just see the parking lot jammed full of vehicles. And not just them, but others. Now, that poor man was under the influence of the spirit of Antichrist. You see, Antichrist will come saying, I am Christ. That's what he'll come saying. I am Christ. He will claim to be the anointed one. He will claim to be the Messiah. So obviously the spirit behind him is the same spirit that is behind all those who deny that Jesus is God in the flesh. Now I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that that spirit is going to become more active the closer we get to the rapture. And we think we're close to the rapture. It was active in John's day. If it was active in John's day at the end of the first century, and now we're into what? The 21st century? A lot closer to the return of Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is far more active in our world today than it was then. It was there then, and it is now. Back then and now, there are groups of religious Jewish people who adamantly deny that Jesus is the Messiah. Adamantly deny that Jesus is the Messiah. Oh, they don't want to hear that. You can't talk to them about that. And then when you add to them all the cults that engulf the Gentile world, what you've got, friend, is you've got a strong, strong spirit of Antichrist at work in this world today. A powerfully strong spirit. Did anybody see this thing with the Muslims ever happening? You know, in all the years I've been saved, 35 years, hearing people talk about preaching about the end times, I never heard anybody talk about the Muslims. And they aren't of God. Because they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And any spirit that doesn't confess that Jesus is the Messiah is part of the spirit of Antichrist. And this world is being inundated with Islamism. People converting to it by the thousands. So what we're up against here, friend, is this is not just a little bit of a religion that's kind of sweeping the world by fancy. What you've got here is we've got a very powerful, seductive, watch me now, deceitful spirit that is at work in this world today. Extremely powerful. And by the way, when we are gone, when the rapture takes place and Jesus snatches us up out of here and the Antichrist steps up to proclaim He is the Messiah, multitudes, millions will follow Him. The world will accept Him. The world has yet to accept Jesus Christ, the true Messiah. But the world will bow down and worship at the feet of the Antichrist. You say, how can that be? How can the true Christ come and very few people worship Him, the true Christ, and then this false Antichrist steps up and proclaims to be the Messiah, and the world just poof? Because the spirit of Antichrist is progressing. Are you listening this morning? You understand what I'm saying? The spirit of Antichrist is advancing. It was at work in John's day at the end of the first century. But friend, it's far more powerful, far more active, far more deceitful, far more seductive today than it was then. And when the Holy Spirit leaves this world in the body of the believers at the rapture, the world under the seduction of the spirit of Antichrist is going to look to that man as the Messiah. The Bible says that He will sit in the temple of God, showing Himself that He is God, and millions upon millions of people on planet Earth will follow Him and buy into what He claims. If you know the Bible, you know that's true. Now, I don't know what you think, but I'll tell you what I think. That's a powerful spirit. That's a seductive spirit. That's a very deceitful spirit. By the way, folks, you can see now how this, you can see, look, if the last national election for president proved anything, it proved how gullible some people could be. I'm not against President Obama because he's a black man. Forget that. But the man had absolutely no experience. None. None. I went back and did a little research on all the men who have been presidents since I've been alive in my lifetime, 1957. Dwight Eisenhower was the president for 8 years. He was a military general, very successful military. Yeah? And then was it John F. Kennedy that followed him? John Kennedy was a U.S. senator, a House of Representatives, U.S. senator from the state of New York, I believe it was. Massachusetts, one of the two. And all down through there. Just all kinds of experience. Governors, the former governor of Georgia became a president in my lifetime. Former governor of Arkansas. We had a man elected president who had no legislative experience. None. None. And yet America is just poof. And the world just, ah. Are you listening this morning? We are ripe for, the world is ripe for seduction. The world is ripe for deceit. And this spirit of Antichrist, I'm not talking about the election anymore now, I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist as far as deluding people and deceiving people and seducing people. I tell you what, as people of God, we don't understand how strong that spirit is. Yeah, it's powerful. Now you think about the world falling down and worshiping at the feet of the Antichrist. All of that moved by the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of error. Now, what about us? What about the people? That's why John, that spirit was already at work in John's day. That's why John says in verse number 4, "Hey, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." John is writing to these people, and he's encouraging them. He's comforting them that in the face of this spirit of error, in the face of this powerful, active, seductive spirit of error that is at work in the world, even though millions will be swept away by false doctrine, God's people will overcome that power. God's people will overcome that seduction. God's people will overcome that deceit, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's exactly what the context of this passage is about. That the spirit that's in us, the person that's in us, is our protection from error. Our protection from false doctrine and false teaching. Let me ask some questions this morning by way of the outline in the message, and it won't be long. Number one, who is in us? Who is in us? John said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is in us? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19 says this. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? If you're a born-again child of God this morning, the Holy Spirit of God is the person who is in you. And he is a person. He's one of the three persons of the eternal Godhead. You've got the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Brother, he is no third-string quarterback coming off the bench to fill in for God the Father who's been injured, and Jesus Christ who can't get the job done. No, he is a part of the Godhead. He is the eternal, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent Holy Spirit of truth. He was involved in creation. He has been active all throughout human history. And he is the person that's in me. He is the person that's in you if you're saved this morning. The Holy Spirit. Who is in us? The Holy Spirit of God. Thank God that he is greater than all the evil spirits, all the spirits of error that are active in the world today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 says this. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of error. That's the false spirit. But the spirit which is of God. I don't think we understand, friend, how unprotected we would be from the spirit of error if the spirit of God wasn't in us. How unprotected we would be. You know, I guess there's some argument about whether or not Islamism is the fastest growing religion in the world today. I can argue. Some people say no. I've read reports that say yes. Some say no. But I tell you, I don't need to argue about that or debate about that. My Bible says that the spirit of Antichrist has and will dupe millions into denying Jesus and embracing the Antichrist. That's a powerful spirit. Do you understand that if you weren't saved, you and I could very easily be under the seduction of that spirit today? And maybe you and I would be a Muslim? It's not just Arab-born people coming from Arab countries who are converting to Islamism. People of all people, of all countries. I don't think we even have any idea right here in the United States of America. And how that thing has influenced our country. My wife and I traveled to Kansas City here a couple weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago, to teach for speak at a ladies' retreat. I said, I did one of those in Texas years ago. I said, I'll never do that again. Then I got talked into it by Scott Hanks, but now I am double dog certain I will never do that again. We went through the security, and I went through the security, and she was behind me, and they said, step over here and go through this machine. It was one of those, what do you call them? Full body scan. I said, she ain't going through that. And I didn't have to speak for her, really. I did, but I didn't have to. She'd already made up her mind. She said, I won't go through that. I'm not going to do that. Did you hear about the pilot that refused to go through that? I like that kind of stuff, friend. Last time I looked, I almost said your age. You don't care? Last time I looked, 52-year-old women like this girl down here weren't the ones strapping bombs to their bodies, blowing folks up.
If it gets to the place where you got to go through one of those things, we ain't flying no more. I'll be honest with you. Now, folks, I'm telling you, we don't understand the protection that we enjoy because of who lives in us. You look at these people converting to this thing and you think, my gracious, what, don't they know the truth? That's it. They're empty. And there is no person on the inside who is greater than all the spirits on the outside who can protect them from the seduction and the deceit. If we didn't have the Spirit of God living in us, we would all be susceptible to the spirit of seduction and deceit, and very well could embrace the spirit that the world is embracing right now. Do you understand the protection that we enjoy because of the person who's in us? As God's child, with the Holy Spirit of truth living in us, we have a protection from being duped into that belief. Who is in us? The Holy Spirit of God is in us. What does the Spirit of God, when does the Spirit of God begin to be in us? Who is in us? The Spirit of God is in us. Number two, when does the Spirit of God begin to be in us? You got a Bible? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Turn back just a few pages. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 12. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 12. And you know, I listen, about every week of our life, the news includes something going on with Al-Qaeda or something. But you understand, folks, these are all people who deny Christ. It's in our world today. It's everywhere. First, I don't have to talk to you about this week. You don't have time. You know what happened. First, Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now watch this. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There is a procession here. Paul said, you heard the word of truth. That's the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. He didn't die for Himself. He wasn't buried for Himself. He didn't rise again for Himself. He did all of that for you and me so that we could be saved. That's the gospel. Okay, you heard the gospel. And then, number two, you believe the gospel. You believe the gospel. That's what Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You've got to believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And you know what I tell people? I say, you've got to believe that in your heart. Now look, I don't know what's in Brother Bragg's heart. He doesn't know what's in my heart, but there's one who knows what's in all of our hearts. So before somebody can get saved, watch it, before they can get saved, they've got to hear the gospel. Once they hear the gospel, they got to believe the gospel. I believe it. And then he said, you trusted Christ. They got to, by faith, receive Jesus Christ, accept His redemptive work. So they hear the gospel, they believe the gospel, and then they embrace the gospel. They embrace the person of Jesus Christ. By the way, you know what happens when you got that going on? You got salvation. That salvation has nothing to do with the baptistry, has nothing to do with the church membership, has nothing to do with turning over a new leaf, has nothing to do with some lightning bolt from the sky. It has everything to do with hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, and embracing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Has that happened to you? Have you trusted Jesus Christ after believing the gospel, hearing the gospel? Have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you have, then you are a born-again child of God. Now watch it. That's not all. The very last phrase in verse number 13 says, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Watch the procession. You hear the gospel. You believe the gospel. You trust the person of the gospel. Boom! You're sealed with that spirit of promise. You are given the Holy Spirit of God the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. So as soon as you get saved, the Spirit of God takes up residence in your body. And with the person comes the power. Folks, it's not a power living in us like some kind of self-motivated pull ourselves up by the disciplined bootstraps. It's a person who lives in us. The person of the third person of the Godhead. And with the person comes the power. You receive the Holy Spirit the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. 2 Corinthians 1:22. Paul said, "Who hath sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." So as soon as you get saved, the Spirit of God moves in. The moment you get saved, you have the person of the Spirit of God living in your body. And with that person comes the power. The power that is greater than all the power of false prophets put together. That's the power that will protect us from the seduction of the Antichrist in this age. I'm telling you, friend, if you're not saved, if you're not a born-again child of God, right now you may have a mental acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but I'm going to be real honest and candid. If you're not saved and Jesus comes and we leave, saved people are gone, and the Antichrist steps up and sits in the temple and shows himself as God. I'm God. I'm here. The Messiah's here. There is a very good chance that you will change your mind and believe about Jesus Christ and embrace the Antichrist wholeheartedly. We don't believe the Bible. I think it's a fairy tale. This is no fairy tale, folks. There is a spirit of seduction at work in this world today. Millions are already succumbing to it. It takes away from the person of Jesus Christ, denies His deity, denies that He is God. And people will fall by the millions into that belief. That's the power, the seducing power of the spirit of Antichrist. But thanks be to God, the moment you get saved, the Spirit of God moves in you and He is the person with the power greater than all the spirits of the devils that are in the world today. Number three, let me ask this question. I got to hustle here. I don't have two more and I'm done. What does the Spirit do for us? Well, Brother Gellis taught in our Sunday school class last week, seven things the Spirit does for us. I won't go into those seven on time. What I'm saying is there's many things the Spirit of God does for us. But watch this. One of the things He does for us is He guides us into all truth. Watch me now. John 16:13. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Thank God we can know the truth. Thank God we have the truth. But thank God for the person who opens our eyes to the truth. Brother Jay was talking to me about this man. We walked over from the Sunday school class. He was talking to me about this man he's witnessing to at work who just doesn't believe that Jesus died for everybody. I said, "Jay, he's blind." He said, "What can I do?" "What you can do is just pray that the Holy Ghost of God will open his eyes and help him see the truth." The Spirit of truth guides us into all truth. Truth protects us from error. When I was a Bible college student, I forget what year, probably my sophomore or junior year, there was a bus director up there at the time who was in charge of the ministry I was involved in. He was a well-loved and respected bus director. He's a great guy. I can still see him in my mind's eye. He loved God. I can still see him in a trench coat walking up and down Sibley Street. When we pull in with our buses, you know, he'd say, "How many of you have on your bus today?" And he was a great guy. And I found out I was working third shift at UPS. And so I was at the dorms in the evenings and should have been sleeping or studying. But they said, "Hey, there's a meeting over here in Benton Harbor, Michigan. There's some fellows preaching, and there's this bus director, and a bunch of folks have rented a bus and a little shuttle bus. We're going to go to the revival. You want to go?" I said, "Sure, I'll go." Never heard of the guys. So I went over there, and there was a good service, and the guy preached on prayer. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about my prayer life. So I went to the altar, and I was praying at the altar. And somebody said, "Okay, now all of you who are praying at the altar, would you please slip into the inquiry room and continue your prayer time?" And so we got up, and I went into this little room on the side of the auditorium. And I was kneeling beside a chair, and I was praying and just talking to the Lord about my prayer life. And this guy got down beside me on his knees, put his arm around me. He said, "Son, do you know God?" I said, "Well, I got saved a little over a couple of years ago, October 1975, I got saved." He said, "I'm not talking about saved. Do you know God?" I said, "I don't know if I want to. Amen." You know, scared me. God. And I, you know what? I'll be honest with you, I don't remember what happened. I think he had prayer with me and he went on to the next victim. So jump back on the bus, you know, and I'm riding home and I'm thinking, that's just something strange about that. How many of you going to go back tomorrow night? I didn't raise my hand. I didn't go back. I just kind of lost. I dropped out, never went back, never talked to anybody. But I knew that some of the fellows were still going over there. About that time, we had a Bible conference, 3 days. They had some of the pastors who graduated from the college come back and preach. They had Bob Gray from Bourbonus, Illinois, come back and preach. They had a couple other preachers. So one guy was supposed to preach. He had a car wreck on the way to the college. He couldn't preach, so they called this bus director and said, would you step up and preach in his place? And this bus director stood up. I never will forget it as long as I live. He's preaching about dying to self and crucified life. And he said, I haven't displeased God for the last 3 days. When he said, I haven't displeased God for the last 3 days, in my head, all kinds of things. The Twilight Zone came in. What? You haven't displeased God for 3 days. Well, I can't go 3 minutes without displeasing God sometimes. 3 days. People shouting and man, what? 3 days. Well, Jack Howes found out about it, and buddy, I'm telling you, he came out there and he threw a fit galore. I'm telling you. And come to find out, what those guys were preaching at that meeting was sinless perfection. They were preaching the total sanctification of the flesh, how that if you were totally dedicated and committed to Christ, you could live without sin in this life. One day we'll live without sin when we get to heaven. But not before. And that fella bit into that stuff lock, stock, and barrel and was teaching. He was using a college classroom in the afternoons to teach the total sanctification. Now look, I'd only been saved a short time. But when I heard him say, been 3 days without displeasing God, all kinds of warning bells and red flags were going off in my heart and my mind. You say, oh, I guess you just knew the Bible so well. I hadn't been saved in a couple of years. There's a person who was living in me who said, He protects us from error. He guides us into all truth. And I got to quit, but I'm enjoying this today. I don't know if you are, but I'm enjoying it here. Specifically, the Holy Spirit guides us into the truth about Jesus Christ. Jesus said about the Holy Ghost in John 15:26, He shall testify of me. Watch me. The Spirit of Christ never exalts Himself. You get in the church where all they talk about is the Spirit, 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 the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't talk of Himself. The Spirit talks of Jesus. The Spirit lifts up Jesus Christ. He guides us into all truth about Jesus. He never takes away from Jesus who is in us. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. When does He come in us? When we get saved. What does He do for us? He protects us from error, and especially error about Jesus Christ. Here's my last question. Do you have the Spirit of God? Do you have the Spirit of God? Romans 8:9 says this, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Two groups. Listen very carefully. Boil the whole world down into two categories and two groups of people. Those who have the Spirit of God and those who don't. If you don't have the Spirit of God, can I just plainly and candidly and kindly say that you are a candidate, you are a sitting duck in these end times to be deceived and seduced into receiving the Antichrist as the Messiah. That's a bold statement. Well, you tell me what the Bible teaches. You tell me what the Bible teaches. If I'm wrong, Brother Irvin, some of you guys that know the Bible better than me, been saved longer now, let me know. But I'm going to tell you what. If you're not saved, you are a sitting duck for the influence of the Antichrist. That ought to scare you. Oh, I want to do with the Antichrist. I believe, but I just don't know about this salvation thing. Friend, put aside your arguments. Put aside what you think to be true. Understand what the Word of God says. You're a sinner that needs to be saved by God's grace. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again for your salvation. Come and trust Christ today and be saved. And if you are a Christian, it would behoove us to keep a good relationship with the Holy Ghost who lives in us. The Bible says, don't quench Him and don't grieve Him. Why would I want to quench or grieve the one who protects me from error? Huh? The greater person, hey, the greater power that's in you. It's not a greater power. It's a greater person. And that great person has great power. His name is the Holy Spirit. And He keeps us from error. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Now look, let's ask a couple of questions here before we dismiss the service today. I just pray, Lord God, that You'd work in our hearts. That's what I pray. I pray that Jesus would help us. The Holy Ghost would speak to our hearts this morning. And God, that You'd do what only You can do. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. Nobody looking or leaving. Let's just sit tight for a moment. We're almost done. How many would say, honestly, Pastor, I'm saved. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I know that I've been born into God's family. I am a born-again child of God. If you can say that honestly, would you raise your hand, please, as a sign of it? God bless you. I thank you for raising your hand. Take it down. Is there anyone here this morning who would say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand just then. I was honest. Did not raise my hand. I do not know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand? Would you let me pray for you this morning? I am not sure that I am saved. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there another one? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Somebody else today in the room. Upstairs, downstairs, side to side, front to back. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't want to be a sitting duck for the spirit of Antichrist. Anybody? All right. Who's here today? Now look, if you raised your hand just then, you're not sure that you're saved. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible. Show you how you can be saved this morning. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to be your Savior. Thank God for the person of the Spirit that moves in after you trust Christ, but not until you do. Not until you get saved. Who's here this morning would say, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized. I need to follow Christ in believer's baptism. Would you raise your hand, please? God bless you. If you're ready this morning, come on right now while we wait. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we'll help you get prepared for baptism this morning, Brother Scott, as they come. Let's do that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking. Maybe you're saved, not been baptized. You didn't come prepared to get baptized. But you need to find out about it. Anybody like that this morning? Anybody like that this morning? All right? Now, Christian, you got the person of the Spirit of God living in you. Has it dawned on you how much the Spirit of God does for us, and especially in the area of protection, protection from error? Oh, keep a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. Don't quench Him. Don't grieve Him. Thank God for Him. He is our protection against the spirit of Antichrist that lives and dwells in this world today. It's very active and will even become more active the closer we get to Christ coming. Pastor, at some point in the message this morning, the Spirit of God encouraged me, challenged me, rebuked me, spoke to my heart in some way. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand this morning all over the room? God bless you. I appreciate that. Take your hands down. If you're saved and baptized and you know that you've been visiting here, you've talked to us about joining the church, we'd love to have you join. If you need to talk to us, you come and we can get a time to talk to you about membership. The most important thing this morning is if you're saved. If you're not saved, you're a sitting duck for the Antichrist, the spirit of the Antichrist. Father, bless the invitation. Speak through Your Word to our hearts this morning, I pray. That's my prayer. In Christ's name I make it. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies are playing a song right now, the invitation. As they play, would you come? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to come and pray this morning? Let the Spirit of God speak to your heart. Would you come? While we wait. While we wait. Thank God for the Spirit of God, our protection from the spirit of error. Would you come? While we wait.